Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that is Growmark, locally owned, globally strong. In this week's program, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that's some new technology. In this case, Google Glass, or as a lot of you know, I have my own, and I affectionately refer to it as ZimGlass. But I have with me Bruce Raza with TechWare, and Bruce, we've talked before. This is an opportunity for us to kind of catch up a little bit with each other, and at the same time, maybe share some thoughts about our experiences as we move forward using this new wearable technology. So first of all, it's great to have you. Why don't you, for people who aren't don't know you real well, just tell us a brief bit about what you're doing here with this new venture that you've started.
Sure, Chuck. Thanks. Basically, TechWare is a small ag tech startup, and what we're focused on is this new emerging technology, wearable technology. This can come in the form of smart glasses or smart watches, and or even ideas coming up beyond that, that could be used as tools within agriculture. And very simply, Chuck, they are accessories that wirelessly connect to your smartphone or tablet and can help you do more tasks in your everyday jobs. So what we offer is consulting and also building apps for partners as they as the agribusiness brands around the industry connect with their growers and end users.
Well, you've had more time than me using the device at this point. What kinds of reaction are you getting now? I remember the first time I went out in public wearing it, and I've done that quite a few times now since then, but let's talk about this from both, as we go, from both a consumer perspective, like, as well as from the agricultural audience with farmers in particular. Looking at those two kinds of audiences, what kind of reactions do you get when you're wearing your glass?
Sure, kind of two things. And just to back up a little bit, for those that might not be familiar with them, Google Glass itself is effectively kind of a smartphone on your face. So it has similar function as a mainstream smartphone, but it doesn't include an antenna. And so in that way, it starts as a pair of glasses. And the first versions a year ago did look extra unique. But in time, those have changed a bit. Chuck, as you may have seen, there's some new lenses that are available and some new frames. Prescription lenses are now accommodated, as well as there are sunglass pop-ins. So those are some different things that allow the glasses to look a little more normal, if you will, to someone, you know, day to day on the street. And I actually get, generally speaking, you know, if I'm not going through an airport or traveling, you know, less looks or fewer questions from that standpoint, because increasingly they're looking a little more day to day and a little more normal, if you will. So that's kind of it from the consumer side. We do still, from a demo standpoint, a demonstration standpoint, glasses that are very, very interesting first impression. A lot of people that will literally approach me on the street or even an airport and say, you know, is that Google Glass? Can I try it? And so forth. And it's a pretty fascinating first experience because it's a very quick and easy way to instantly, in just a second or two, say hands-free, take a photo or capture a video. So that's part of its initial appeal.
Yeah, I know. I just was at, this was an ag conference, but mostly international visitors to the U.S., many of whom, you know, they've seen about it, you know, seen it online, this kind of stuff, but having it at least up to a point only been available here in the U.S., they hadn't had a chance to even see one. So I really got mobbed, almost, you might say, with people at that conference, one, because there were a couple thousand of them there, you know, that just nonstop, you know, asking questions. And so I think there is a lot of interest in this, you know, and really we kind of have to lump farmers into the general consuming public at some point because they are consumers and part of the public. And really they're people no different except that maybe the type of business that they are making a living off of. But I thought that was very interesting to see the reaction at that conference. This is just a matter of weeks ago that they just had not seen this before, you know? And so once there's this huge global marketplace for this too, and I'm sure that's what Google is gambling on as we look forward to, well, who knows when this is going to be really publicly launched. What's the latest on
Yeah, a couple
that?
things there. Sure. Actually, a couple things. I'd echo your comments on the international events. Over the last year, I've had the chance to go to a couple different international events. But in that, in total, people came to those from around the world, one, somewhere in the U.S., somewhere in Africa. And in total, I've had the chance to have my glass device in the hands of people from 22 different countries. And the reason I mention that is the universal response is actually what you just said. Its initial response is pretty much a fascination from basically any culture. And so that's just been an interesting piece of feedback. And to your point, the 1 year-long beta has been U.S. only. Just last week, Google opened it up to the U.K. So that's part of the reason for their initial interest. Second piece, you asked the question about when do we think Glass will announce. Don't know. Google hasn't directly hinted. This week is their developers conference, and maybe they'll give some indication then. But general idea is something by the end of this year or early 2015
Yeah.
would be the announce date.
Well, and hopefully for a price point somewhat better than where it's at right now.
Oh,
Because
yeah. No. Right now,
people don't
it's
know
still
that it's
developer only.
$1,500 just to buy the base unit. You mentioned the frames and prescription lenses. Mine, I did purchase. I think the frames were about 225, and then it was about another 750 to put my prescription lenses into them. So, that's a big number for a device that's in beta, for one thing. But when this comes out, in order to be able to do that, I don't know about you, but I don't see this going over well with the public in mass distribution or purchase for that high of a price point. So we assume it will be much, much more reasonable at that point. And who knows what the actual physical device that's attached to, the glass frame itself will be in its final version for that point. Is it there? Because we, like you said, we haven't gotten any real good hints or clues on what this might finally look at in a final for the public version either.
Sure, there's lots of changes that are coming there, Chuck. First off, it's price. Yeah, the current device at $1,500 is really intended for developers only and just a handful of early adopters that really want to try something. Mainstream price I've heard could be roughly half that or less, say $700 or less than that, just approximate. Another piece is with the prescription lenses that are now fully technically supported. I've heard that that piece, that component, could be covered under insurance because it's the same prescriptions you'd have for, or similar prescriptions you'd have for standard glasses. And then the other piece is just as far as it changing its overall look and feel, Google publicly announced a relationship with a company named Luxottica. And while a lot of people haven't heard of them, they're the world's largest, I think it's sunglass maker with like 12% of the global market. They own very popular and well-known brands like Ray-Ban in Oakley. So if you have a pair of Google Glass that starts to look like Ray-Ban, those are looking start to look more mainstream, and I could see people using those throughout agriculture and other industries.
Well, before we get into some of the applications we see for agriculture, which I know our audience is going to be very interested in how that's going, how about just from the standpoint of we've had a couple of updates to the software for Glass that have fixed a few bugs, as you would expect in any new device in beta. How do you feel about where we're at right now with the device in terms of its reliability, performance? What are those things that you kind of like or maybe don't like about the current hardware and software?
Sure. It's not quite ready for prime time, but it's still been a pretty fascinating journey. So just in the last 12 months alone, I think Google has issued 9 free public software updates to the device, and it automatically updates in the background, once you're connected to, say, Wi-Fi, when you're recharging in the evening or something like that. And so that's been pretty fascinating to see that process. Basically, they've been gathering people's feedback along the way to change and improve the product. Functionality has generally grown. A couple things have been pulled back in the short term, like a video recording was removed again for the short term, but Google promised that will be coming back, and other functions in general start to get smoother and easier. I definitely know that setup and initial enrollment for someone first hooking it to, say, their iPhone or their iPad, as well as Android device, has become simpler and easier and more straightforward. So basically, it's a beta program, and it's been evolving in the right direction, but not quite done yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from my perspective, I would love to see an improvement in the camera that is on the device. Also in the microphone that lets you record audio or speak into it for that matter. Those are just, you know, from a media perspective, it would be nice to have, not that they're bad, but compared to other devices that let you do the same thing, it would be nice to have that extra little bit of quality along with a hands-free device, which to me is still one of the key elements of this thing, is its ability to allow you to have your hands free while you are still being able to use the device for an application that previously required you to have something in your hand to do it.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one thing there, I'll just comment on the camera. Today it's a 5-megapixel camera, which is very common for a lot of mainstream smartphones. So it does record good quality photos as well as entry-level high-def video at 720p, and it is rumored that that will be bumped up to an 8-megapixel camera for launch. So from what I can tell you, I expect to see some improvements there even.
Well, let's get back to how this has an application in agriculture today, and start with applications. There are some applications that come with the device. There are applications that are being built, or frankly, as a developer, you could build one yourself. And when we talk about some of that, if you've got an application that's not in the store, so to speak, I guess there's also interest. Well, okay, so if I develop my app, how do I get it on the device? If it's, you know, and there are ways to do this. But talk about some of the applications you found are getting the most interest either as already being used for, or maybe possibilities that we need to look at how we might develop them.
Sure. Speaking some generalities, I just had an excellent opportunity, Chuck, in the last 2 weeks to participate in a tech tour across the Midwest. I actually went from Iowa to Illinois to Indiana and had the chance to meet with about 300 growers or agribusiness leaders. And they get the experience of a number of different technologies, and glass was one of them. So I have a fresh opportunity to get some of their feedback and reactions. Broadly speaking, some areas of highest interest are anything in field, anything related to crops. Also equipment, specifically, say, equipment support or remote support or understanding something that's going on, either using photos, videos, or text, again, hands-free. On the hands-free notion, Chuck, as you'd mentioned, a keen interest there, specifically for any certain semi-dangerous situations, right? If you're climbing up the side of a grain bin, climbing or looking in grain carts, or any case where you're needing to be hands-on with something, use both hands, but you'd still like to communicate or be in touch with someone. And then also definitely some interest even in animals. From an animal care standpoint or even a veterinarian scenario, some cases where that could be used to record or log the different treatments given for animal care.
Mm-hmm. Or how about like just one that I ran into was somebody who just out of the blue expressed this for livestock sales, being able to use the device easily when out in the field to maybe shoot, whether it's a photo or a short video clip of a potential lot or, you know, pen of livestock that they want to make for sale so somebody can see it before they buy it or bid on it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty interesting one. Yeah. So sure. how do you describe where we're at in terms of having some specific applications built for the device? Do we think there are some of these in progress right now already?
Yeah, a couple things. So with Glass itself, Google's publicly said they will have an app store at launch. So again, that should be later this year or early next year. And again, this all fits under the umbrella of wearable technology. So also look for there to be a lot of visibility starting just in the next few weeks, even on smartwatches to complement smart glasses. To your specific question, yeah, I think you will start to see some agriculture-specific apps starting to appear this year. So none formally on the market yet, right, but there's definitely some interest and some work climbing.
Well, you see some of the ones that, you know, you almost hate to use the word traditional because there are some ag apps out for like iOS or the Android, probably more for the Apple version, but Android too, that have been out for a couple of years now. And I've got to believe that some of those will find a way to have a version that can be used on Glass. Especially if they already have an Android version of their app. And that seems to be a logical next step. But you mentioned other types of wearable devices. I know we're talking about Glass here, but you know, we've got the rumor mill going now that Apple might come out with an iWatch or something like that this fall. There are obviously some others already out on the market. And people go, well, you know, how many of these can you have? I mean, if you've got something on your wrist, something on your head, and something in your pocket. But it's taking a little bit of a mind jump to think that those things being connected together wirelessly can complement each other and perhaps make even some of the existing applications much easier to use, more effective because of that in some ways. Kind of depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't expect everyone to wear everything at once. They have different roles. The hands-free element of Glass is quite good for capture and so forth with its camera. The devices like smartwatches are still new. There hasn't really been a grand slam success in that category yet. You're exactly right. Apple's device is rumored to come out later this fall appears to have a very distinct health and fitness focus, in addition to the other things you would expect of a small smart device on your wrist. But I think smartwatches in general might be better for things like notifications as a complement to your device. So again, back up to the principle, these are accessories that complement your smartphone or tablet. Increasingly, you can have your smartphone with you, but you can keep it in your pocket or your tractor or your truck or someplace where you don't have to pull out the square brick every single time for everything you want to do.
Yeah.
So basically it's a broad category of wearable technology is the main trend and main theme.
Do you think there's any possibility that in the near term that we might see one of these devices be able to have its own antenna so that it can be independent of another device like a phone, for example?
Absolutely. Interesting question. Samsung is supposedly coming out with a smartwatch that will have its own SIM card. So in short, it will be a phone on your wrist, and you won't need to have it paired with anything else. So,
We might want to mention that the reason the phone comes into play with Glass is that you do pair it by Bluetooth so that you can use essentially the antenna and the phone to connect to that your local network that you're on for your device, or it's what helps you get connected to a local Wi-Fi spot.
Yep, exactly. In fact, just to be very clear, that's my favorite application so far of a smartwatch. I've got Samsung's current device. It's called Gear 2. It came out this spring, and even 2 weeks ago, I was driving down the road, and when I got a phone call, didn't have to pull my phone out of my pocket at all. I could simply glance at my watch, see a picture and number of who was calling, and then, you know, if it was safe and it was appropriate to talk to them, it quickly touch a button that says accept call or deny. So it's a simpler, the whole point of something like a smartwatch is information at a glance.
Yeah.
And so in that case, it was useful, and in certain cases in agriculture, that could even be a safety question too.
Right.
If you're taking a piece of machinery down a transporting down a highway or something like that. Some cases you you need to know who's calling, but you may or may not choose to act on it.
Well, looking ahead with what we know at this point and feedback that we've received, what are your thoughts on the outlook for these types of devices and their use in agricultural production of any kind?
Sure. I think they absolutely have a role, but they'll be a little more specialized and focused. It will not, in my opinion, based on feedback I've seen from lots of farmers and agribusiness leaders, will not be something everyone has universally, if you will, kind of like the smartphone has been. So the greatest roles I've seen so far are roles like a crop scouter, right, as an agronomist, or someone doing, say, precision ag tech support that's doing a job that's very important, it's information intense, but they would love to have their hands free if they could, and in some cases actually need to have their hands free. I don't yet see the devices being horizontally appealing to, say, a multi-purpose farmer yet, except there's definitely a few early adopters who are the exception, who actually have the devices and are working with them now.
Right.
Even in this last trip over the last few weeks, I had the chance to be with some crop scouters and agronomists, and we were in fields, very varied, very a wide variety of fields, row crops from wheat and corn, as well as cotton, and specialty crops like apples and peaches. So mm-hmm. got to see a number of different use cases and get their real-world feedback. What do you like? What do you not like? And so overall, there's high interest. The one caveat I would say, Chuck, is, you know, devices are very new. They're emerging, and things like battery life, specifically on the smart device, smart glasses, are still a little weak. So unless you choose to carry an extra battery, it's going to take a couple of years for this to evolve and become more mainstream and even more easier to use for mm-hmm. everyone, for general everyday use.
All right. So before we close, then, anything else you might want to say about not only this type of technology, or perhaps just about what you're doing with TechWare that we haven't touched on, or you just might want to let people know?
Sure, absolutely. I think one of the things that's been most fascinating over this last year is simply that people in agriculture obviously are very pragmatic, and when they look at any new technology like this, their primary questions are around basically, can it be a tool that's useful to me, you know, today or in specialized use cases? They don't really view it as a toy. So even in this chance in the recent weeks to meet with basically about 300 people over this two-week period, there was only one publicly asked question about privacy. And so while, you know, Google Glass in particular is kind of controversial on the general press and consumer side, it's been fascinating to see that the agriculture side and the vertical industries, very true of other vertical industries too as well, healthcare, remote support for different types of field operations and field support companies. There are lots of different industrial vertical use cases that are coming up for Glass. I think it'll be a big success, to be very clear. So that's just been interesting. It's basically a focus on it as a tool, not as a toy.
Right.
And probably the second thing is simply we're it's been a fascinating time also with TechWare, getting people feedback and getting engaged in some initial consulting operations and engagements has been great. We'd love to help the brands and the agribusiness brands that serve growers and serve the agribusiness community. We'd love to help them accelerate their success and get out there and try some of the new technologies. And we offer the ability to support them both from a consulting standpoint as well as software application development. So a very exciting time.
It absolutely is, and I echo that from an agricultural journalism standpoint. I've been using this, it depends on the event in large part, but here as we look at some of the summer shows coming up where you're out in the field, I see me needing to carry some extra batteries, plural probably, while I'm out there. Because like you said, it doesn't last forever, and no device does, but... But yeah, we'll be out and about with it quite a bit, hoping to see some possibly new applications come out that we can take advantage of doing that as well. So thank you very much, Bruce. That's Bruce Raza with TechWare. If you were at the NAMA convention, for some of you that might be listening, hopefully you got to meet Bruce and I encourage you to go to techwareag.com. Want to make sure we got that in there too, Bruce, to find out how to connect if you need to. And maybe if you want to have a little training or maybe you need a speaker for a program, consider Bruce. I can do it from a different perspective, but I do see a lot of interest in this right now and have really not seen it on some programs that I would like to see it on as an attendee this year. So hopefully that'll change as we go through the next year, especially when it becomes public. So, all right, Bruce, thank you very much. That's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you all have enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.